We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back to Marloni, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
They've set a high asking price for Kevin Durant, you know, in their conversations with Boston, which I think is right now, when you look at the landscape, the Celtics are probably a leading team for Kevin Durant when you look at the pieces that they have. Jaylen Brown, you're able to add draft picks, other players. If Brooklyn goes that direction, you want as much as you can get, and that includes Marcus Smart, that includes draft picks, whoa. Which right now, from what I'm told, Boston's not inclined to do.
Fourier and Mego, we're live from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio before Red Sox home games like tonight's, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox. That was Shams on the Pat McAfee podcast. I believe that was yesterday with the latest about who is the best package for Kevin Durant. Excuse coming me? Out of Brooklyn. The best, the biggest package, the most impressive package. Who is the best one?
Boston, of course.
Oh, it's Boston.
We'll see you in the open.
Oh, it's definitely Boston.
We'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
Ooh, that package.
Ryan we'll is like,
oh, this is good.
So, okay, this is the latest that's come out. From Ian Begley of SNY. What the hell is SNY? What is that title?
New York.
New York.
SNY? All right. I don't know. Some New York thing.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant says.
It's like they're Nesson, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But better.
This is what they he reports.
More?
I think this is just today. Kevin Durant sees
hey,
Boston.
It.
Will you knock it off?
What? I mean, stop it.
Over company. There, we're going to make you sit on your hands, Christian.
Somebody tie me down.
All right. Kevin Durant sees Boston as a desired landing spot, according to people familiar with the matter. Durant also would like to play with Boston's Marcus Smart
Ooh.
If he is traded to the Celtics. Per people familiar with the matter. The Athletic had previously reported Brooklyn wanted Smart included in a package from the Celtics in any Durant trade. So how about that? What do you think about that? Marcus Smart, he says, I don't want Marcus Smart traded to Brooklyn. I want to play with Marcus Smart. Does this change anything for you? I'm going to get to the next step in this.
Does it change anything? No.
Ridiculous.
No, I think Kevin Durant is the devil. You should stay away from him at all costs. Yeah, he is. You're making a deal with the devil. With any deal that involves Kevin Durant playing for your team, stay away from it. I don't care how cool it looks or how good it may sound. He's going to sink your team.
You know, it just reminds me that, like, for the next month, because, right, when camp opens up, I don't know, when is it? When is it? September?
Celtics camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it September?
I think we're 6 weeks away.
All right, yeah. So for the next 6 weeks, how would you like it if you were just, like, say you're Kevin Durant, if you're just anybody, and any thought you have in your mind, you can get out to the media because there's people just waiting on your every word.
Hey, Shams. Hey, Shams.
Oh, no, just like,
hey,
yeah,
Shams.
Yeah, I like
I
to play with Marcus Smart. Why don't you float that one out there? Yeah, you know what? I'd love to play in Miami. Yeah, why don't you go ahead? Yeah, I'll send that to you. You could float that out there. Like, right? I mean, everything he says, like now all of a sudden he wants to play with Marcus Smart, right? Like, okay, you play with him, I guess, in a Team USA with Ime. I'm sure he watches him and he sees him getting after it defensively. You know, he probably figures, hey, if I'm on the team, maybe he won't shoot as much because I can do that. You know, I don't know. I think it's just
how surprised are you Marcus to Smart. Hear that from Durant's camp that Durant sees Boston as a desirable landing spot, given that it was, you know, less than 2 years ago that he was sitting there when Kyrie was giving the press conference about the racism in Boston and Durant was in the background laughing, saying the whole world knows it. I mean, it seems like kind of a pivot.
It does, right? Or because if he was, if he really felt that way, he never would have even entertained years ago this whole meeting with Tom Brady and the affection that
he's just piling on him. Like everybody else.
Yeah, and I mean it's a
piling on with his buddy.
The city of Boston is an easy target for everybody.
Yeah,
and LeBron plays in the same city, which spray painted a racial slur in his garage. Money speaks, and so does the chance to win rings, which Kevin Durant both wants.
I just think that's unfair.
I love everybody's morals. Organization. Their morals change.
Everyone has a price tag, right?
Yeah. Yes, they do. And they want to win. And that's why, because I think he looks at it and says, I can go there and win.
So yesterday we were talking about that Shams reported that there was this ultimatum that came from Kevin Durant to Joe Tsai. All right, that was 2 days ago, and then we got the follow-up from Joe Tsai yesterday, where basically Kevin Durant said, hey, it's me or it's Steve Nash and Sean Marks, Sean Marks being the GM of the Brooklyn Nets. And then Joe Tsai comes out yesterday and says, you know, we stand with our coach in our front office, and we're going to do whatever is best for the Nets. Well, this is from Adam Himmelsbach in the Boston Globe today. He wrote this up in his beat writer notes. He said a leaked source said there has not been any real traction on a deal that would send Kevin Durant from the Nets to the Celtics. It's no surprise that the sides have had some discussions, of course. Here's the part where I went, are you freaking kidding me? This is when I read this, I texted you guys and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Okay, so Adam Himmelsbach writes, according to the source, Brooklyn initially tried to pry both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown from Boston. That proposal went nowhere, of course. The source confirmed recent reports that Brooklyn later shifted its focus to a deal centered on Brown, Marcus Smart, and a massive haul of future first-round draft picks, but the Celtics were not interested. Let me reiterate. Brooklyn initially tried to pry both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown from Boston for 33-year-old, soon-to-be 34-year-old, Achilles burdened Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but that doesn't surprise me.
No, it surprises me because I thought Sean Marks had a head on top of his shoulder.
No, it's like, who's the GM in San Francisco? Lynch?
Yeah.
Called Bill up and said, talking about Garoppolo, and said, by the way, what about Brady? Right, this doesn't shock me at all. Number one, it tells me maybe this is a general manager that ask tells me he's not trading the guy. Mm-hmm. But if you are, you throw it out there. I don't know how much you love Kevin Durant, but let's start with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I'll give you Durant plus. Give me Tatum and Brown. Give me your two.
See, I'm with Mego on this.
That is
ridiculous. But isn't it a bigger sign? Isn't it a bigger sign that you don't know what you're doing? Like, are we even going to like act like adults here? So, like, if you go to buy a house and you make an offer, $1 million for that house, and then they come back and say $10 million. Like, you know, they don't want to sell you the house.
So
they're not
dumb.
Even serious. Like, well,
that's the loose point. They don't want to trade him.
It tells you that they don't want to trade him. Or you just, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Or they're bad at their job.
You find out if you're stupid or not.
So yesterday, there was a report that Kyrie said something along the lines of, like, he thinks that Steve Nash is a bad coach, which we already knew because Kyrie was holding his own practices after Steve Nash's practices.
We heard that twice.
And we heard it twice. And then, he doesn't think Sean Marks is very good at his job either. And I was like, man, what an a-hole. What a typical Kyrie thing to say. Like, and do you really want guys like this in your organization? And then I read this, his trade proposal, his request is both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I go, maybe Sean Marks isn't that good at his job.
Yeah, maybe Kyrie isn't the crazy one.
You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's the way that I took it. Where either they are completely unserious about moving Kevin Durant or Sean Marks has no idea what the market for Kevin Durant is right now.
This is one of those things where, and I guess maybe some of the players go public, right? Because they're not getting what they want behind the scenes. There's no traction. So they're like, okay, let me force the hand.
Like every day?
Right. But I'm just saying, like, a general manager is like, you know, Kevin, if you really want me to trade you, can you just shut up? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, can you just shut up? Like, now you're throwing ultimatums. Like, I got to fire my coach. I got to fire my GM. Now you're talking about where you want to be and that you might hold out. Like, according to sources, we know it's all coming from you. But how the hell do you think I'm going to be able to trade you the more you talk about this? Now, I have always felt that way. And yet, in this sport here, it still happens. Like, we felt that way. James Harden did everything he could in Houston. And you're like, and then they go out and they get, you know, picks and players and everything else. So I guess this sport is different, but it always amazes me, because maybe it's just, listen, I've been trying privately, and he's like calling my bluff. So now I got to go publicly and put some pressure on him. But the more he speaks, the more you start looking at a month down the road to where Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a first-round pick, maybe the best he can get. The best he can get if Kevin Durant continues to talk and hold out and everything else.
Yeah, the best situation for the Nets is just to keep everybody and just have a team meeting.
Come to Jesus.
I mean, no. With the coaches involved. No, I think it's...
I was going to say, is it like to have a revolution against Sean Marks? What is the team
for some reason, there's there's obviously no respect given towards Steve Nash or Sean Marks, because both Durant and Kyrie have both won championships, and they think they know how it should be done. Sean Marks never won anything, and Steve Nash never won anything. I mean, he played in a NBA Finals, but he never won anything. So how the hell would he know? How would he know what it looks like and what you're supposed to do? So they think they know more than him. Honestly, God, like, I almost feel like this is one just big exercise in futility, because nothing's going to change. And I would say most of the time you would say, okay, the player's going to win. But I feel like this situation is different than all the other players that have asked to get out of their contracts because of the situation that the Brooklyn Nets are in, how high-priced and value of a commodity that Kevin Durant is, and the other teams that he wants to go to that are willing to trade with him.
Well, and I'm also beginning to wonder how much Durant is just starting to screw with the front office.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it comes out when he specifically says that he wants to play with Marcus Smart. Now, I'm not aware that Kevin Durant and Marcus Smart have like a very tight friendship. I've never seen anything on social media with them like hanging out, being buds or anything. They've never really talked about each other in the media as far as I've read or seen. Like, they're just not usually, you know, they're in different stratospheres of the NBA. Not to say anything against Marcus Smart. It's just like a superstar and like a starting point guard. So like a great player. And so I think it's really unusual and specific that it comes out that the Nets' counteroffer included Marcus Smart, and then Kevin Durant goes, well, I would go to Boston, but Marcus Smart has to stay there. It's like it's almost like he's intentionally being a pain in the ass.
Everything they're asking for back, he's like, I can't wait to play with that guy
in Boston. Exactly.
Yeah, I think there is something to that. Like, I think he kind of understands, like, this is wouldn't you consider this a long shot for this for the Brooklyn Nets to pull this off?
No.
To trade him,
I think it's a long shot.
I don't.
Then they just give him away.
I'm just saying, because I felt like in this league, I felt like it's been long shots before.
Well,
I
like
felt
like Ben Simmons.
That ain't gonna happen. I mean, Ben Simmons,
we
whatever.
Were sitting around going, where the hell is Ben Simmons going to end up? Now he ended up in Brooklyn, which again, you wonder what the hell Sean Marks is doing.
But Philly was, you know, interested in actually doing a deal for James Harden. Mm-hmm. And they actually re-signed him, and he said he was going to lose weight. He'd take a team-friendly deal, whatever.
I'm just saying, in this league, you look at it and say, God, I mean, again, I go back to James Harden, what he did down in Houston. Showed up fat, out of shape. I ain't playing. I'm like, they're not going to get anything for this guy. And they got a boatload, right, in Brooklyn. Yeah. And it's like, they don't care. Like, they won't. Like, they don't. So he can talk his way out of it, and we can think he's hurting his leverage. And in the end, he's going to end up coming here for Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a first-round pick. And he's going to be on this team.
I understand it's the way that the league operates with superstars, that when a superstar requests a trade like this, it doesn't happen like that, unless, like, maybe in the case of Paul George, it happened, like, very quietly.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's protracted. It takes a while to find a trade partner. But I also feel like this is so screwed up.
Yeah.
That there's no way that either side is going to come out of it looking like a winner.
Tyler, do you think he gets moved?
I think he gets moved once he sits out training camp, which will make it real in the next month or so. If he decides not to report and truly wants to trade, it'll lower the price. But I'm reading a quote here from after the Celtics swept the Nets on April 26th. He was talking about Steve Nash, and he actually endorsed him. He goes, I mean, come on now. Yeah, Steve's been dealt a crazy hand the last 2 years. He's had to deal with so much stuff as a head coach, a first-time coach, trade injuries, COVID. It's just a lot of the stuff he's had to deal with. I'm proud of how he's focused and his passion for us.
Mm.
We'll keep developing over the summer and see what happens.
Was that like...
It's a pretty ringing endorsement
of
coach.
Was that the real Kevin Durant? That wasn't like Instagram, Twitter, I'm going to start trolling people, Kevin Durant. I feel like there's two versions.
Which one is the real one?
That feels like the serious one.
Is the troll online the real one? Or is the guy who gets up at the podium and says nice stuff about Steve Nash the real one? Because he's now requesting to get the hell away from Steve Nash, whether that's being in another market or them firing Steve Nash. So which one is the real Kevin Durant?
Can they both be true?
And four of the assistants.
No, because then he's just a split personality.
Well, exactly. Yes. Can they not both be true?
They can.
Does that make sense? Can they not both be true?
And four assistants on the Nets staff have Durant ties. So like they've catered to every wish and demand he's had, and he's still unhappy. It's a little bizarre.
To me, it is all just a cautionary tale all around Brooklyn.
Don't like, sign high-priced players.
It's just you went through it with Kyrie. Okay, and then you see Brooklyn going through it with Kyrie now, but then they're also on a much bigger scale going through it with Kyrie times 10.
We already talked about Ben Simmons.
I know, because
what he's doing.
When his teammates
everything
asked him to play in the playoffs,
clouded over him.
He deleted the text thread because he didn't want to feel pressured.
I think that came out that it was a rumor that he removed himself from a group text. Yeah, somebody put that.
Really?
Pat McAfee put that out there that he removed himself from a team group text.
Well, it's believable.
Because he didn't want to play in the playoffs, and then I think it came out. Shams came out and said that didn't happen.
Sure did.
So. Yeah, Ben Simmons said it was a fake story, so of course he did.
Of course, I believe it.
Hey, believe what sources you want. Anyway, just needed to check in because every day we get something new in this Kevin Durant possible Celtics trade. But right after we trend, we have a wonderful special edition, a big deal, no big deal. We'll get to that right after trending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
All righty. Big deal. No big deal. We're going to start in the baseball where we actually brought this this topic up to Alex Cora when he joined us at 2:30 because Pittsburgh Pirates second baseman Rodolfo Castro-Lew apparently can't go anywhere without his phone. Here's what happened. So he's called up from AAA Indianapolis before the game, and he slid headfirst into third in the fourth inning against the Arizona Diamondbacks on Tuesday night, and had his phone fly out of his back pocket. Here's the sound from that game right now.
Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now that's a first.
Good.
And there's Adam Hamery. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
So that's right. The third base umpire, Adam Hamery, actually saw the phone, points to it, and the 23-year-old Castro had to pick it up. But as you know, Lou, Major League Baseball has cracked down on technology being used on the field since the Houston Astros used live TV feeds to steal opposing teams. So young Castro keeping his phone in his back pocket while he's actually playing the game and then losing it as he's sliding into third, big deal or no big deal?
I'd say it's a big deal. Forget about the whole league thing of it, right? We don't want phones on the field. We don't want Apple Watches on the field. Like, if I'm the manager, the kid's a rookie. Did you see the third base coach? The third base coach is like clapping, hey, good job. And then the umpire points out the phone. The kid picks it up, goes to hand it to the third base coach. And immediately the third base coach sees it, looks the other way, like looks into the sky. And you could tell, basically, he's like, you have got to be bleeping me.
That's a bad one, right?
Yeah, and then just walk and like puts his hand out like disgusted. Like, this kid's got his phone in his back pocket playing a Major League Baseball game. Like, that is unacceptable.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
It's a big deal. It's bizarre. I went, because it was the fourth inning where when Alex talked to us, he said, like, oh, I thought it was.
Yeah, he thought he was lying about it.
I thought that he left it in his pocket. I don't believe that at all. I think he was.
The fourth inning.
You know, playing around with the phone and then just kept it in there. Yeah, I don't know if it's like nefarious, but it's stupid.
No, but just I feel like, you know, technology is so taboo now in any instant, any like situation with Major League Baseball based on the Apple Watch, the Houston Astros, Alex Cora, AJ Hinch, you name it. Like, it's like I wouldn't come close to bringing a phone anywhere near the dugout.
No,
but I guess I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got fined. But he looks like a dope.
You know, it's different now, too, because I can see guys, like, stretching out, you know, sometimes to get the ear pods in.
Yeah.
So maybe they have their phone. Like, this is like a new thing now. You have your phone while you're, you know, you're running from foul line, doing your running in before the game, like you see them on the field. Maybe they got their earpods. So right before the game, maybe 20, 30 minutes before the game, they may have their phones on them. But when the game starts.
Like, and not only that, Lou, but I mean, if he's coming from first base, you know, before he took his base, he's getting rid of his shin guard. He's getting rid of the elbow guard.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting rid of the batting gloves so he can put the oven on. So he dumped everything out, but wasn't like, my phone's still in here. Here, take care of it, would you?
It's the fourth inning. He's out in the field in the first going, oh, damn, I got my phone in my pocket. I heard it straight away.
I'm not a man, so I don't keep my phone in my back pocket very often. That's like
what we do.
That's a guy thing to do, like keep it with the wallet in the back
pocket.
I
don't do that.
Yeah.
Who carries the wallet in their back pocket? This isn't...
No one.
I don't ever do that. I keep my wallet in my front pocket so I don't get...
But I put my phone in my back pocket.
Do you really?
But you sit, don't you take your phone out of your pocket when you sit down so you don't crush your phone?
Good point. On the bench. Thank you.
So what's he doing?
No clue.
I think he was like... I do think that at some point in time, he
I'm just saying, might have been on his phone, Diva Legacy, Pablo Sandoval, checking Instagram, trolling.
Isn't this a sign of just of things to come, though? Like how committed and how like obsessed these guys, these 23-year-olds... are with their phone that he forgets. He has it in the dugout. He can't just stay off Instagram, TikTok. All right, so congratulations are in order, guys.
Yeah.
Congratulations are in order because friend of the show, friend of the city, Kelly Olynyk, he got married.
He did.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a very... Show. He's a friend of the show,
I haven't had good authority. He hates the show.
Nah, I don't believe that's true at all, but he's going to hate us after this. This is not necessarily a pet peeve of mine in general, especially for young Abercrombie and Fitch models or any guy in a frat.
Okay.
But
now you're talking about something that's already...
But wearing your hat backwards is one thing. Wearing your hat backwards when you get married is another thing.
Hardo?
Oh, I don't know if it's a hardo move, Tyler, but so Kelly Olynyk got married in a snapback hat, and I didn't know what a snapback hat was. I guess the ones with I didn't know what it was.
Please,
I just usually go with the fitted ones, okay? And Air Force Ones. I'm down with the Air Force Ones, but Mego, big deal, no big deal. You get married, and your man friend walks down the aisle with some just random John Deere hat on backwards. Big deal or no big deal?
With the sneakers, it's a big deal. I mean,
how old are you?
Those photos are forever. She looks so beautiful. His wife looks like an angel. He's wearing a very snazzy black tux.
This is embarrassing.
Wonderful. And then he's got this stupid cheap hat on his head. You can do that at the reception, okay? That's fine at the reception.
I'm fine with it.
At the party, you can wear whatever, party your face off. But like for the ceremony, I'm looking at the ceremony pictures. It's like at this beautiful, looks like California location outside. Everything's perfect. And he's got this stupid hat on. Big deal.
Lou, you okay with that? You okay with this, Lou?
No,
come on.
I do think it's a little bit crazy at your wedding, but I'll say this. It's just nothing but a power move.
Really?
Yeah, it's a power move. You ever go somewhere where it's like, you know, dress code, and then somebody walks in like a sweatsuit, and you're like, ooh, that must be, and he's like some famous guy, and you're like, such a power move. You know what the dress code is, and you also know they're going to let you in sneakers, because they don't allow sneakers, and you're in a sweatsuit, and so we know the minute you walk in, I see you, I know you're a big shot. Because you're doing things a little bit differently than everybody else. That's all it is. It's a power move by Olynyk.
You know what this tells me? She is a cool-ass chick. That she is like...
She's allowing him to do this?
She's like, honey, it's not my day. It's our day.
Do that.
And you know what? You like the way you look in that greasy baseball cap with your hair all greased back?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I wonder if
you like in 5 years much credit.
Yeah, well, in five years, I'm going to own that hat. So don't worry about it.
In 2 months, when we get into our first fight,
like
I'm definitely
going
to bring this up and hold it over your head for the rest of our marriage.
So he's either a really big fan of the Sylvester Stallone movie Over the Top, where he had he was an arm wrestler back in 1987. Maybe he likes Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Maybe he just hates his hair, or maybe he really is a redneck.
I don't know.
We're going to have to decide it.
By the way, career earnings for Kelly Olynyk, $95 million.
Oh, yeah. We're the
chumps. That's pretty nice.
95.
Like I said, power move. I can do it.
Mm. All right. So, Lou, I'm going to start with you on this one because I feel like you have a problem with this. But we'll see. The WNBA has been called out a lot of fans and NBA players. WNBA players have been calling out to the league about the fact that they just don't get any respect because after the Los Angeles Sparks knocked off the Washington Mystics on Sunday night to keep their playoff dreams alive, the players went to the airport to find out that their flight home was canceled and rescheduled for 9 a.m. the next day.
Yeah.
The Sparks were without lodging for the night And the only hotel with room near the airport could only handle about half the players. So they all slept in the airport, Lou.
Yeah.
There's actually one of the, their head coach actually tweeted out a picture of, like, you know, the benches, you know, at the airport, yeah, and says, our beds tonight, yeah, these players deserve better. Hashtag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, well, let's listen to one of the players, and I can't say her name, but I think it's Ninke Ogu Mikey.
Oh, my Lord.
Save that. Anybody-
her name is Ninke Ogumike.
Ogumike.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a pass
that?
For that one.
You can't say Ogumike?
Yeah.
I can say Ogumike now that I know it is.
Let me hear.
Ninke Ogumike.
Let's hear. So this is her at the airport, walking around the airport, yeah, being pissed at everybody.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we are roaming the airport. It's the first time in my 11 seasons that I've ever had to sleep in the airport. But based on travel, it's not expected that this has happened. It's basically... it was only a matter of time. So half of us are sleeping in the airport, half of us are at a hotel. There weren't enough rooms. After our flight got
delayed,
and then canceled at 1 a.m.
And then rebooked for first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So it is now 1:44, and we're here till 9 a.m.
I doubled up my clothes, y'all. Getting cozy.
All right, so she's basically the Chris Paul of the WNBA because she's the president of the WNBA Players Association. So, Lou, big deal, no big deal. These professional athletes, yeah, are getting no respect, being forced to sleep in the airport.
And, Lou, before you answer, the, yes, other voice was her sister, Chinne Ogumike, who's a ESPN NBA analyst. You, oh, see her on TV all the, yeah, time. So, yeah, they had to sleep in the airport.
Oh, my God. This is the biggest no big deal thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Really?
It is lazy. It is just floating it out there that we're women. We get absolutely no respect. This would never happen in the NBA. This would never happen in male sports. And it is lazy because it's no big deal. Because it has happened. I have done this playing in Boston. I think we were on our way to Toronto. You get there, the flight gets canceled, or there's something wrong with the plane. And next thing you know, it's 1:30 in the morning. There's no hotels out there to put the entire team. We stayed on the path. The team slept on the plane. The other half slept in the concourse, and we had to wait till the next morning. And not her or whatever. Pedro Martinez did this. Manny Ramirez did this. And they're like talking about how it would never happen to men. Like, it's disrespectful to women. It's not. It happened 2018. Look it up. The Yankees. The Yankees did the exact same thing in 2018 in Washington because their flight got delayed and canceled out to Kansas City. Like, we actually sat there and laughed at it, made the most of it, drank our faces off, slept in the airport, thought it was actually funny. We didn't go out there and claim disrespect because we're women. I think it's just lazy because it's happened to men. The Yankees? And the Red Sox organizations that happen to.
If you travel enough for work or whatever, it will happen to you because the airports and commercial airlines are the great equalizer. They will screw you over at
some
point.
We have charters.
So don't be mad at the WNBA. Be mad at the commercial airlines because it happens every day. It happened to my college team at one point. We all had to sleep at like 4 in the morning at the airport. Happened to me at work. I got stuck in Vegas for like 5 hours one time. It's miserable. But
it's not like
a particular situation because you're a female athlete.
Well, but there is this ongoing battle with, you know, between the WNBA and, you know, the league offices, which WNBA is obviously owned by the NBA, how they allow the NBA players to fly private, and yet they're forced to fly commercial like a college team. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting there going, look what happens. You have no respect for us, and we're sitting here sleeping at the airport on a cot. And at first I was like, this is amazing. This shouldn't happen. But you brought up this story about
we
Red Sox and the Yankees. We did it as a Patriots.
Yeah.
We did it. We got snowed in, and then Bill said, hey, listen, you got two options. You could sit on the plane or sit on the bus because you have to wait till the buses to show up, and we're going to bus home. Or you can stay the night. It's up to you. So half the team exited the plane and had a wild night in New York City, okay? And the other half, it was great. And then we all took the train. It was great. We just made the best of it, you know? So I think it's like you can't control the weather. It happens. And even more so to this point, she mentions 11 years. She's been in the league 11
yeah.
years. It's the only
this
time
is
it's
the
happened.
First time. Yeah.
11 years? So it's yeah. not a
first
problem.
Time.
Good run.
Yeah, I'd say this is the exception.
It's just lazy because
not
it the rule.
It's just bad luck.
The New York Yankees it happened.
All right, let's keep this theme going with women since
God, they complain
women
so
be bitching
much.
About everything. All right, so Serena Williams actually she announced her retirement. The odd thing is that she blames her retirement on being a female.
On her baby,
pregnancy,
really?
And motherhood forcing her to make this decision. So this is from Vogue magazine. She says, quote, believe me, I never wanted to have to choose between tennis and a family. I don't think it's fair. If I were a guy, I wouldn't be riding this because I'd be out there playing and winning while my wife was doing the physical labor of expanding our family.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd be more of a Tom Brady if I had the opportunity. Big deal, no big deal, Mego.
I just think it's a weird deal. Yeah. I haven't read the full article, so I don't know if there's something that I'm missing here. But she's like mad that she's pregnant again and she's going to be 41, 42 by the time that she'd be able to return to the circuit, like after being, you know, going through the postpartum stuff. Like, I just don't get it. It's just kind of like the facts of life, you know, like as a woman. That's part of the deal. Yeah. You got to birth the baby.
I don't.
I don't understand it. She is a birth. What do they call it now? Birth? Because it's not a
birth giver.
Birth giving person. Parent.
That's
whatever.
I
have no clue.
But she's a giver,
like,
of life.
This line. This is like. I don't think it's fair. If I was a guy, I wouldn't be writing this because I'd be out playing while my wife was having the baby. And my response would be, yeah. Like. Yeah, like I don't understand what she's bitching about.
To me,
it's almost like she made this choice to be a woman. She's a woman. She wants to have a family. She's having a baby.
And hey, she's the absolute best. Like, nobody's taking that away. Like, she's the absolute best. She had one child before and came back. And I believe she also competed while she was pregnant the first time, which is incredible.
We actually
hats off to her.
Joked about this, right? With like athletes and should they miss games to watch the birth of their child? And we joked about like, well, Mego, if you were having a baby, you would definitely be at the game.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm there.
And it was actually like a joke, but that's the reality. It's like, if you have a baby, your wife probably can't play that night
because
she's having
the
child.
Daddy needs to play for the Celtics because we got to win.
Yeah, like you have a choice whether you're going to play a game or be there for the birth of your child with your wife.
It feels, you know.
Women don't, and she's like mad at that.
Serena, like, you're 40. You've already done it all. You're awesome. You're already the Tom Brady of women's sports. Like,
yes, there's no comparison.
You absolutely are. You're probably beyond that because you're just the greatest female athlete that I've ever seen in my whole life. So to me, it's more about like if this was happening when she was turning 31, then maybe that's a different story. You know, it's more about like age comes for all of us.
Yeah, but then you're just sort of bitching about who you are. Like, I'm pissed I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And that if I have to have a family, I have to give birth to the child. My husband can't.
And
it sounds like it's just a weird.
No, it is. It's odd. And can we stop using Tom Brady
for
every comparison?
Brady.
Like, stop using Tom Brady. It's not fair. He has nothing to do with this. And I would say, I'll ask Ryan this, I don't know, Ryan, like, as far as MMA fighters, see all these MMA fighters, right? There's the women fight game is becoming just as popular as the men's game.
Absolutely.
Right? And there's a lot of women out there that are having babies and fighting at the same time.
I mean, Mackenzie Dern is a top five female fighter in her division. Hannah Goldie just fought 2 weeks ago. She's got a young son. Miranda Granger just gave birth to a child. I mean, it's very, very common. I mean, Mackenzie Dern specifically, she's got the stay-at-home dad thing going on so she can focus on her career. But it's very, very common in mixed martial arts.
It's a bizarre statement because then one of those women being like, you know, it's not fair that I have to bail out of this fight to have a child because if I was a man, I'd still be able to fight. And your response would just be like, yeah.
Amanda Nunes is a double champ, and her partner is also a fighter. So they're raising a young daughter together, and both of them have been training.
I just had to read it to see if there's context about, like, is it because she feels like there isn't structure in place to support her as a working mother of two? Because I don't know how that works with professional tennis and that, you know. But then that also comes down to your partnership, you know, with the father. So I don't know. It's just very strange.
Yeah.
So I think I hate to say it. It's not a big deal because it's so odd.
No, but it is weird. I thought was interesting because unlike an MMA fighter, if an MFA female fighter found out that she was pregnant and then 2 months later had to fight, I do not think they would let her fight.
No.
Unlike Serena Williams, who, you know, unlike a lot of people, they don't maybe not even realize this, is that she was 2 months pregnant when she won the Australian Open in 2017. Mm. But now she's turning 41 and she wants to grow her family. So she's probably looking at her husband going, you jerk. You did this to me.
Look what you did to me.
You did this to me.
That's what I wonder.
Is this him.
Ah, you jerk.
Is this all a coded message to her husband?
Yeah. Oh, he's in trouble.
Yeah, if it wasn't for this guy, whatever he did over there, I'd still be winning titles, honey.
He's like in like a silk robe. He's got like a pencil thin mustache. He's drinking a martini and a cigarette.
You can bet your ass he'll be there for the birth of that child.
Oh, yeah.
And not be like, you know what? I got a golf vacation.
No, he ain't going anywhere. All right, well, that's big deal, no big deal.
All right, there you go. That's good. I like it. I don't know if you guys have been following or not, but Hard Knocks had the first episode. It's Detroit Lions. And it's actually kind of nice because it involves our guy Dan Campbell, who we often put on the hard-o scale right now. But we want to do a little Hard Knocks. Listen to Dan Campbell. We'll do that. We'll get to Alex Cora and the Red Sox top of the hour, low Pats in that last hour as well. But first, a little Dan Campbell. It's next.
Fourier and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, so Hard Knocks, Detroit Lions. Mego, from what I understand, you watched this. You were very disappointed that we're only 12 F-bombs. From Dan Campbell, I believe.
So what? Well, I got through the first 26 minutes.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I wanted to watch more, but I just got busy show prep, and I had to write a column for Rob Bradford.
How does Rob crack the whip?
He cracks the whip. Trust me.
I have a hard time feeling that you're ever intimidated by Rob Bradford.
No, I just wanted to get it done so I could get my hair done.
Okay. Big night tomorrow.
Yeah, big night tomorrow. Going on a yacht.
Oh, yeah. We're going yachting, Lou, and you're not invited now.
We're going to La Cantina is what we're doing.
Oh, that's true.
We're going back to Framingham.
Well, one of my favorite things about Hard Knocks, Hard Knocks is a double-edged sword. Because on the one hand, I think because it's been on for so long, you get guys who are kind of performative on the show. Wouldn't you agree with that, Christian? You get guys who are hamming it up for the cameras a little bit.
Who's the guy that they hype up that he knows getting cut because of it?
Yeah, and he's like, or they're just trying to be a personality or something. But on the other side, you get to see the coaches and all the creative swears that they have, which I love because I'm like, ooh, I like that. Might take that. You know, I don't get to use it on air here, but I can use it in my everyday life.
Okay. Well, let's get a little bit.
I was a little disappointed. Only 12 F-bombs.
All right, let's get a little bit of Dan
minutes.
Campbell, because this was Dan Campbell's intro to the team.
What are we? What makes us what we are? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's what we started with last year, guys. It's our core foundation, man. Grit. And what does it mean? Really, we'll go a little bit longer, we'll push a little harder, and we'll think a little deeper and a little sharper. Like, to me, it means we'll play anywhere. We'll play on grass, we'll play in turf, we'll go to a landfill. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass. All right, now, there's a number of teams.
What?
I'm sorry.
What happened?
Hold on. I don't care if you have one ass cheek and three toes.
One ass cheek. But wouldn't that be
just
a bully? Wouldn't
you
be a big bully? Picking on the handicap.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
But what happened in a football game to eliminate an ass cheek?
Like you're really going to take advantage of this poor guy that can't even fight back? He's got one ass cheek.
One ass cheek and three toes. I don't even know what the hell.
I kind of like it, though, because you know he's just riffing. He didn't prepare that.
If you go up against like a handicapped man, we're going to beat his ass. Like, wait, what?
Hey, let's pile on this. We don't care if he's weak.
What? I don't get that reference.
We're playing a guy with one ass cheek in a landfill. That's great.
This year, we're going to pick on the weak. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to see a guy broken. We're going to beat him up. I don't get that.
I mean, you're right, though, Mego. I can see the assistant coach is going, don't stop him. He's on a roll.
They just barely get to the water. What? You got to get in the water to compete. The number of teams, that's all they get to. Then there's a number of teams, they are in the shallows. And they come in a hurry, man, and they are all over your ass. They're all over your ass, and they strike and move. They strike and move, and they're dangerous, man.
If you could
just get a hold of them, and you start dragging their ass out to the deep, dark abyss... You can drown them. The last thing I'm going to say is this. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no light. There's a song Metallica has, No Leaf Clover, and it says, man, when it comes to the soothing light at the end of your tunnel, it's just a freight train coming your way. So if you're seeing a fight, it's a freight train.
I don't mean... I love him, Like, I love him.
There's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's what is he talking about?
The light at the end of the tunnel is not actually a light. It's a train.
It's not a.
Is that supposed to be inspiring? Guys, yeah. We've all gone through a preseason, right? There's a point in preseason where your spirit is broken and you're like, my life sucks. I'm going to be in this deep, dark place forever. My body hurts. Everything hurts. I have no life. All I do is eat and play and sleep.
And what's like the last few days? And everybody goes, light at the end of the
tunnel.
All
the vets go, there's a light at the end of once games start. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be so great. It's going to be such a better normal schedule.
You guys are familiar with this really average Metallica song. You guys just finish the line for me at the end of the tunnel.
Your coach is standing there going, it's a freight train.
I've never heard of Metallica.
It's going to get worse.
They strike and move, and they're dangerous, man.
You bob and weave.
Yeah, we don't. Nobody knows what we're doing.
Hey, look over here.
Look over here. Yeah. It's a sleight of hand.
When you start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's not. It's a freight train coming to run your ass over.
It's just a freight train coming your way.
Is that him saying like this season's gonna suck? I don't understand the message.
I do like the a tried and true like you know message is the whole bring them out to the deep end where they can't swim. Like that, yeah. You're willing to drag them out to the deep end.
And you start dragging their ass out to the deep, dark abyss.
Oh, we want to punch people in the mouth. We want to take you in the fourth quarter and take you to a dark place that you're not willing to go to.
These two need to be on the same staff.
I'm starting to worry.
No, it's too much. It's too
much. I'm worried about what these guys are doing in their recreational time because there's a lot of dragging of asses to dark places.
Oh, my God.
And it's like... it's getting a little weird for me.
Would you rather have David Coley saying, we're going to, what was the phrase he used? I totally forgot about it.
We're going to make a pile?
No, we're going to go forward.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go forward.
Or Nick Sirianni, the systems to play
The thing we say is to win a football game, you got to keep from losing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's the thing with Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
Is your coach?
I love No.
Position coach.
A position coach. You'd love him. Fabulous. You tell him anything. He just fight everybody. But here's the thing. So I like the fact. Listen, I want to be a tough team. I want to be a gritty team. I don't want to, leave anything on the field.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
And but at some point in time, once you've only won three games in 10 weeks, it's not funny anymore. It's comical. It's stupid. And he looks like a clown. So he's taking a risk right now because if he keeps doing this. No one's going to
give a crap.
You know
what the funny thing was is I think even last year, the Lions ended up, 3-13-1.
Mm-hmm.
And you could laugh at it, right? I think they lost seven games by 4 points or less.
So you bring that up.
So they actually were more competitive than I thought, even though they never won anything.
Can we hear the third cut? Because I watched this in the show, and I'm like, I think this man needs help.
Can you? Okay, thank you. I want you to confirm something.
He might be
a
little unhinged. I love him. Might be a
there
might have
been some
unwell.
Tears at the end of this one. Go ahead.
All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I set you up for the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please. Let's be better tomorrow.
Stop it, Rock.
And you know what? That trickles down, Ryan. I don't know if you watched this, but it trickled down. One of the players brought everyone in a huddle and started crying about the season before his record. Being like, I want you to remember the record last year. We're never doing that again. And I'm like, this team needs help, man.
That was Jamal Williams, the running back.
Yeah, this team is not in a good place to start.
I want to just see who they open up with. The Eagles.
Okay.
Oh, that's
Eagles, got a shot.
That's
Commanders,
winnable.
Vikings, Seahawks, Pats.
Ooh. Well, they could go undefeated.
As much as we're laughing at the Lions and Dan Campbell, is it possible they're better than the Patriots this year?
No.
Why not?
No.
The quarterback might be better.
Because it's the Patriots.
See, what Bill would do, Bill would say, let that guy with one ass cheek and three toes. Let's leave him alone, guys.
Don't go after him.
Leave him alone. Hey, stop picking on that guy.
Don't put his kneecap off.
What are you guys doing? Listen, we want to stay in the low air.
Listen, isn't that the guy you what do you do that? What's that call when a fullback goes out in a flat?
Oh, the donkey route.
The donkey route, yeah. Don't you look at that
don't
guy and say,
attention.
Nah, it's a donkey, right?
Yeah, don't pay him no mind.
That guy.
That's
I can
all
do
I
this.
Think about is you guys and how I set you up for the best possible.
Can I get one more?
The best.
I love him. I love him more than Cora. Worried about him.
Wait, one more, Ryan, real quick, because I didn't see this one. He actually snapped at somebody.
Oh, yeah. Coach showed up during practice.
Hey, put the music down. Put the music down. Turn the music off. Just to get him to turn the music up.
Hey, stop! This is why we're doing the f***ing drill. This is mental work, man. We're not even f***ing locked in. It's bullshit, man. It's the whole point of this day.
Jeez, I think I'd feel really bad for letting him down. He's so vested.
Yeah.
Like, that is a good aspect to have if your players actually feel like crap because they let you down.
Mm.
But he's going to cry, isn't he? Oh, man, we better get our crap together. Don't let Dan down.
This is why we're doing the f***ing drill. This is mental work, man.
You think like Matty P watches this and is like, okay, I got fired. They brought this guy in. Maybe next practice I'm gonna cry in front of the offense.
It's not going to work.
Got to get him to back me a little bit. I'm here for you, man.
I can't wait to watch more of this. I really
I did not even know it was on.
I want to see if he can keep it up through the season.
Yeah, but, okay, I don't know, Tyler, if you brought this up, how close are the Patriots to actually being part of this show now? They're pretty damn close, right?
If they miss the playoffs this year, they would be eligible next year. And you have to believe they would love to choose Bill Belichick in the Patriots
position.
For the first time.
Yes.
That would actually be,
I want him to miss the playoffs.
He'd retire first.
No, that would bring life to that program.
You think? I think it would be so boring.
There is no light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, it might. Don't get me wrong. It might suck. But I'm just saying, at least for the first few weeks, it's always this intrigue. You get behind the curtain here. Nobody's
He'd bring
behind
Ernie
the curtain.
Back. Yeah, Ernie would definitely come back.
It would bring it all back.
Hey,
all right, listen. When we come back, Alex Gore sat with us at 2:30. If you missed that entire interview, you can go on the Odyssey app and check it out. Merlone for you and Mego, and download it and listen to the entire interview. But we're going to play a few parts of it. The article in Boston Globe talking about there's some questions, some confusion with this in the organization. He answers that question as well as the Sale injury. We'll talk a little Red Sox with Alex Cora coming back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.